Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I think the KI specializes in self-sabotage for the simple reason that we get straight to the conditioning that creates that. And I don't know how else you would specialize in it. If you try to talk around it or lead people to some other place in their experience than where it emanates from, you couldn't say you specialize in it. And we certainly do not treat disease or illness or diagnose. And so, but we do specialize. And I've sat with this work for now 8 years, kind of thinking, what is it that we do, really? And that's about as close as I can get to it, although the benefits are so much, they're understated when I say that we specialize in self-sabotage, because when you remove that self-created series of blocks in our life that things we have to believe about ourselves, when those really are not as strong or there, we don't have self-sabotage. We have freedom. We have the life that we want. We feel good, actually, by allowing all emotions. The chemicals that we need are released and flow through the body. You can study this in like AI and ask about it. What are the ramifications of holding emotions back with regard to the chemicals in our bodies? Like, we don't regulate cortisol. The oxytocin and other emotions or chemicals do not flow when we cannot allow our emotions, because we cannot allow intimacy, and we suffer. Okay, that's stating the problem. Let's really get to the solution. When I say KI specializes in self-sabotage and I say that we get to the conditioning, let me explain. What I saw was that in the world, there are all these paths and methods, including things that I had out before this work, that give people ways to process their experience. However, if a particular path doesn't get to how our system doesn't want that, then there's going to be some version of sabotage, some degree. Okay, let me explain a different way. Imagine an iceberg in your mind, and this is how it works with the unconscious. Below the water line of the iceberg are the repressed emotions and frozen fear that science calls repression, that produces our suffering. That never arises to the tip. And to the tip is here representing just what we do experience. So at the tip, we experience depression, or I'm not good enough. But below the water is this frozen fear that we don't feel. We don't actually feel the fear of anger or the anger. If it's repressed, we don't feel the sadness or the fear of it. It's all frozen. And because it's frozen, it really easily bamboozles us. Because we set, like, let's say there's some path out there that says, on this journey, this will happen. You'll have enlightenment, or you'll heal this. But if it doesn't take into consideration that under the water, because of these core fears, is a need for love, safety, and approval. And because these are real needs connected to survival and to these buried emotions, they come and thwart our intentions all the time until we're clearer. And so it really, once I saw this, it's like, do I want to have path A, B, or C, which promises this, this, or this, and then doesn't account for the unconscious conditioning that sabotages that? Or do I want to have path D, which just focuses on how we sabotage that? And it's like an absolute no-brainer for me, because A, B, and C lead to sabotage. D doesn't. You can't miss the root of sabotage and expect sabotage to actually dissolve, because that's an aspect of consciousness that has to be there as long as we feel that unsafe at the unconscious level. With just being ourselves, in other words, our authentic selves. So a lot of people who are like questioning self-limiting beliefs and shadows and worldviews, core limiting identities, deficiency stories, are playing at the tip, but playing at a level of consciousness that doesn't get to the core fears and unmet needs under the water. So what does that do for us? And why have so many people now through the years told me that despite all the processing or the awakening experience, they still cannot really fully have the life that they want? They can't really be free. They might feel peaceful and things may change to a great degree, but there's a deeper level of freedom that we rob ourselves of by not getting to the unmet needs. And so therefore we settle because it keeps us safe at the surface for some state, shift, experience, way of being that doesn't really challenge us terribly at all with regard to what we've truly buried. And again, meets our needs for love, safety, and approval, which also means we keep suffering. And there's no way around it. Because once we seek safety at the surface and avoid what's buried, that's the suffering. That's what sends the signal to the system, produce more suffering, because it's working. We're surviving as a separate false self, but still separate self, by avoiding buried emotions. And there's the pleasure pain cycle that I think has to be dealt with when we talk about self sabotage. It's an evolutionary thing. If you give, this is Donald Hoffman's thought experiment in evolutionary research. If you give humans two choices in an evolutionary sense to choose either A, which is survival and safety, and I would submit driven by this conditioning that I'm talking about, or B, which is freedom, truth, reality as it is, the number of times we choose B is zero. So we're driven by safety and survival, but we're not conscious of it. I mean, we may have an idea about it. That's not the same as being conscious of it. To thaw out the fear that has the conditioning that chooses suffering is to be conscious of it. And for that, you actually have to make that conditioning conscious that's choosing safety and therefore survival of a separate self, suffering, specific practice. And if you dance around it, you're not there. You missed it. I mean, what does it mean to miss? What does it mean to sin? It means to miss the mark. You couldn't miss the mark more, in my view, than to not get under the water where you're driven by these needs and buried emotions. Because that means the buried emotions and needs are driving you. And it's an innocent thing, but we need new frameworks that talk about this, like KI and other frameworks that say, look, let's catch ourselves in this game. Let's actually see that we create this. Instead of thinking that something outside of ourselves is going to stop this pattern, if we create it, we can't even try to stop it once we see that we create it. Because that would be going against ourselves, which is more sabotage. But to make it conscious, to make what's under the water conscious, is a completely different ballgame, I'm telling you. Because then you're adding into awareness. You're not trying to get rid of, which is almost always a sabotage, because that comes from the fear that's buried, to try to get rid of stories and beliefs. But if you make those fears and needs conscious, it just starts going away, because you don't need the suffering or the blocks anymore. You need them quite literally because it feels unsafe. You need love, approval, and safety. I think we just have to go deeper. It's like if we treat it like we're just these adults who are blocking ourselves and we don't see how it happened so we can truly be free, we need that insight. When I was a kid, I didn't even know I had the opportunity to say no or to be upset with something and just absolutely refuse. I didn't have that freedom. I never knew what it was like to feel anger and to have power. And I got love by then staying small. So any big idea that I would get, enlightenment, freedom, love, happiness, I had to suffer and stay small so I could avoid conflict and you know, get people to love me. I try to find the end of sabotage through peace, which is actually just trying to find suffering through suffering, or trying to find freedom through, what am I trying to say here? I was spinning my wheels, I'll say it that way, going nowhere. Because when you're driven by the need to hold yourself back to get love, when you start a spiritual practice, you're holding yourself back to get love and stay safe. But how would you know? Because the emotions and the needs that are doing that don't arise in the practice. So I just slid right into Eastern practice, not knowing that buried anger and unmet needs were creating all my suffering, aka self-sabotage. And I sat in silence and stillness, I guess supposing that, or wondering maybe that that would lead to some sort of like unbridled freedom. I would just become unbound somehow by just being. So I came to being and I just sat in being for years. But there was this deep fear in that, that I never wanted to face. And the idea of just finding peace and then somehow that's freedom was so seductive. Because every time I found the peace, it was safe. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was satisfying some deep fear and the buried anger. So in relationship, I thought that peace was freedom. I thought if I'm at peace with everything, then there's freedom there to actually grow. But there wasn't. The peace was just holding myself back all the time, trying to always bring peace or be peace. But that just meant presence. I didn't know I had buried anger. So I just mean being present all the time, I thought. I wasn't present all the time. That was a sabotage. To be present is to feel safe in one's own being, including with all the emotions. That's when we stop sabotaging, because we can have boundaries. We can move through conflict. We can resolve issues. We can let go of relationships. We can get new relationships that are more meaningful. These are all really powerful things. We can say we're hurt, and then we can have the power to say no more. Or we can move towards what calls us because it feels right when we don't block ourselves. And nothing stops us except for ourselves when we do that. But if we don't know that, we give up our power and our responsibility that's inherent in our being to transform and live free. We just give it up because we don't even know we're doing it. We give up that right to actually be our authentic self in life. Because it's just safer not to. And look at what we get. We get a whole lot of suffering, that's for sure. But we get our so-called love and approval. Do you see? It's sad, actually, that we actually have to suffer together and get stuff from each other because we don't know ourselves. We stumble through life just trying to discover what we are, afraid to get to the root of it all. Because if we got to the root of all, we couldn't get our needs met. That's terrifying. And we're unconscious to it. How would we know we're even doing it? Treacherous is the word, not sad. We're literally doing it to ourselves. And people say, when you talk like this, God, it makes me feel bad. I say, I can't make you feel bad. We feel bad because of those needs. That's just safer. I can't make you feel bad. But you see how you give your power away? You think that other people can make you feel something. Other people might bring something up in you, but are you actually free to feel it all? That's the only relevant question, because your freedom depends on that. Of course we feel shame. Any good leader who's will scare the people a little bit. My teachers always scared me a little bit because they tried to get me out of my comfort zone. I didn't like that. So I went to the teachers who were really peaceful. And then I bypassed. I went to the ones that were anger repressors who would never rock any boat anywhere, if you know what I mean. So I could be safe. That was a big part of my sabotage. I wanted transformation, but I settled for quiet and open. That's not transformation. That's the ground. The transformation happens in and through that. You are the ground, but if you hold yourself, your individual expression back, you suffer as the ground. I did. I suffered as the presence, but it really is a lie. It's just that the first realization that we have, the big non-dual shift, is not the end, but there's such a lie with it. Speaking of sabotage, I mean, like, I had a non-dual experience in 2007. I'm the trees, I'm the sink, I'm the toilet. Yes, the toilet too. And everything in it. And then, you know, it's like, because I needed safety, I wanted so bad at an unconscious level for that to be it. And I was holding on at an unconscious level, like, no, I don't want to feel what's buried. And I didn't know any of this was going on because it was really quiet at the surface. And that's what I got for not even bothering to find out what was going on in the unconscious, which was rage and fear tucked away in my spine in that oneness experience. And then driving everything after that, that little area of fear took over after that oneness experience. I started teaching to get needs met. What a sabotage. Because I saw that there was no one there, and then I was like, I have to get my needs met. I have to make sure there's someone here. But I just wasn't privy to that information. It was not conscious. I didn't hear it. So I did what people do. I told stories and then pretended like they weren't stories. Like, well, all there is awareness. I wouldn't say that I've recognized that, because that's too, you know how it is, like too arrogant or something. Ugh, the false humility. But instead, I would just say all there is awareness, implying that I've recognized that and I'm done and there's nothing else to see, thank you. And that's how I got my needs met. And that's how we do it, right there. This subtle refusal that looks like wisdom, but it's really fear. When we say, there's nothing else to see here. There's nothing hidden in the body. All there is awareness. Really? Why do we have to keep saying it all the time? If it's that true, and in our experience, why do we have to keep pointing to it all the time? Why did I keep pointing to it all? Because it was a sabotage that kept me safe, that kept you safe. I got my love and approval. We could sit here and talk about presence, but not really living and embodying it would require us to feel and express our emotions, to actually live and embody it. And to do that, we have to get out of the pointing to the presence and the processing of stuff that only comes up when we're sitting here as awareness and it's safe to look at it. But if you go back home, the stuff that drives us is pure fear in our jobs and in our relationship, a frozen fear that keeps us from actually moving forward. So I would sit in meditation. I'd process my not good enough story in this safe sort of sanitized retreat or workshop space or my own bedroom. Go back into my partner and realize that I can't move. I can't actually say what I want to say. So I'd just be quiet. And I'd listen to my teachers say, well, what is there to say? Just be. So I did. And I never discovered what I think or feel. I never discovered what it was like to truly connect with another human being. I didn't know what it was like to connect with myself in that, because I needed to go deeper than just all there is what's arising. I needed to see that I was creating it, even as a teacher. You know, when we say things like we're responsible for the diseases that we create, that is not a blame game. That is a transformational thing. That's an invitation. But if we're stuck in that, and that's what I was stuck. I was like, I would actually argue in some ways in favor of more suffering and less freedom. People would say things like, well, maybe your chronic pain is just emotional. And I'd be like, triggered. And that trigger stood in the way of listening to what they were saying and finding freedom. And that's what we do when we're teachers or people who realize. It's like we sometimes stop being open, actually. Because to actually look would destroy our whole world. To think we miss something is threatening. Well, not anymore, though, for me. Because to think I've found everything is dumb. It's actually just needy to sit and think I've discovered everything. I'm like a child who's found so much freedom, I would never want to stop exploring the depth of that. And there's no seeking in it. The seeking is just part of the sabotage. This is how we stay safe. The real unfolding doesn't have any in it. It's just, is it safe yet to feel this? Is it safe yet to allow this? There's no time in that, except for our own resistance to what is. We create that time. But as you become more embodied and living as the presence, you'll see it's like we're just sitting here waiting to be fucking free. Because it's all right here for us. Since we do it to ourselves, we now have the tools and the context with KI. If you have the earnestness and the capacity and the time, and in some cases some money, because I have to get paid, but a lot of it is free, then you have it. You have what you need, guys. I know that it might sound better to go chase down a method or a practice that just makes you feel peaceful all the time, but that's the sabotage. Way more than half of us in healing modalities and spiritual methods are anger repressors. And the rest of them are hurt repressors who also repress the expression of anger. Regardless of what repression it is, we have to face the fact of our buried emotions. That is, unless we want to suffer more. And even though there are unmet needs who demand that suffering, there's something in us that knows that it's not necessary. Call that awareness, call that what you really are, but you know it. And even though the suffering keeps happening, what if you were to learn how you were doing it? Imagine the consciousness that you would have to finally see that the reason that you kept believing that there was something wrong with you was just to keep you safe. And that once you can feel and express that emotion, you don't need to believe that, nor does it need to stop you. Do you guys know how much sabotage comes because anger repressors are afraid to be themselves and face conflict? If you only knew how much came from that, you would start processing buried emotions immediately. But you don't know, see? Because it's buried, and that meets the need for safety. If you knew how powerful it is to be able to say and feel I'm hurt to someone, and to be able to know that you're hurt is so powerful, and to express to someone, you've hurt me. Sometimes that's the only thing that has stopped a conflict, is authentic hurt. And sometimes the only thing that has really resolved something is authentic anger. And we need both of those to be full human beings in every single situation. Not to get angry and hurt at everyone, but to stop pretending that we're not. And to start being authentic and to see that we're bonding together to get our needs met and we're going to suffer because of it. And we're each going to sabotage anything we want, even with each other. Genuine connection, working together, a relationship. We're going to do this together. But don't wait on anyone else, because that's the sabotage. When I say we're going to do it together, what I mean is, there are people who've already done this work. I'm not the only one. And there are people who could get on this mic and express their own. I'm thinking of 5 people right now, including my co-developer, Dan, who could just express their own freedom in their own way. And it wouldn't be anything like, it would probably be very different than mine. You have that too. That's what I want you to know. This isn't mine. Somebody read my book with Toshi called Awake But Sick and said, well, that's great, Scott. That's your story. No, it's everybody's story. It's universal that we have trauma. It's everybody's story. You can't opt out and get on a spiritual path and pretend like you're not part of the story of humanity and our intergenerational trauma. It's not real. It's part of a fantasy of escape that many of us did because we didn't understand trauma when we were kids or growing up. Hell, before 2010, nobody talked about it on social media, really. I come from a generation in which we were ignorant around these issues. But we don't have to be anymore. That it really is our trauma that stops us. It's the repressed emotions and unmet needs. And if we're serious about enlightenment or transformation or healing or ending sabotage or happiness or enthusiasm or all the great things in life, we got to deal with it. I'll leave you with this to show my solidarity with good old Eckhart, because I was very inspired by him on my path. I also was misled by his work. And Dan and I are writing a book about that, about how non-dual teachers, they have such great wisdom and they just often do not have the tools or the pointers to help people in their suffering. But geez, does Eckhart get it? Because when he talks about in a new earth, this is what I want everyone to hear about realization, because he's one of the teachers who will not water it down to just, you are the awareness, which is really safe because it's true. But you are a full multidimensional being. This is consciousness. Include it all. And even though he doesn't give a pathway for that, in that book he talks about the three dimensions of being. Everybody, every time I talk about this, people like it because it bridges one of the great modern teachers, even if you don't like him, he really is, and what we're doing here that gets at a level that he doesn't get to. And so basically we have the tools to have the realization that he's pointing to. That's why I feel a synergy with his teaching, because we need good context in the world to give people hope and a pathway that there is something deeper than just mindfulness, being here now, allowing it all, watching thoughts and feelings and sensations. Now, that's the core of Eckhart's teaching, granted, but only the practice part. He's a first dimension teacher, as you guys know. So he doesn't know how to show people how to get inside the pain body and find out the unconscious conditioning like we do. However, I actually think he's had an embodied realization. And absent his lack of a path, I think he's a good teacher. And I would actually recommend him, a new earth, for anyone doing this work, to give you a sense of what realization really could be. It's like he calls it the flowering of consciousness. And I totally resisted that for the first 12 years, what he was saying, because he was embodied and I wasn't, and I was afraid. But once I learned this work, I found what he was talking about, and there's this alignment. So the three phases of being, or the three frequencies, I think he calls them, are this: acceptance, inspiration, and enthusiasm. The reason I like his framework is because I think people trust it as being intuitively really good pointers. But what I want to add to it is, when you're experiencing the frequency, the first frequency of being, which is living as presence and allowing things to come and go and basically living in acceptance of all that arises, you're still creating that suffering. And there's therefore self-sabotage in that frequency of being. I lived in that, in which suffering would still arise, very thinned out, but it would still arise, and I had no sense of why it was still arising, certain persistent patterns. So as long as those persistent patterns were uninvestigated at the unconscious level, they continued. And so I stayed in the state of like almost like pathological acceptance and not getting to accept my buried anger, which was never coming into awareness to accept. You follow me there? So the state of acceptance, that frequency becomes an avoidant state if we don't go deeper. He doesn't say that, but I've lived it. And just come here and I'll give you tons of anecdotal and some science behind it. But the state, the next frequency is inspiration. And I think it's just because, you know, you don't jump from acceptance to enthusiasm and embodiment. It isn't safe. You have to embody presence more to experience that deep embodiment of enthusiasm. But inspiration is where people do have shifts, realizations, transformations, and they're inspired to either help other people or create. And but they'll often settle at that level. Even artists who are creating, because they have some level of freedom, but they're still afraid to truly embody what they're doing. When you really embody what you're doing in your life, that's the enthusiasm. To embody it means to live authentically in those areas of life, in all areas, in which you're moving and doing things. You're not sitting there accepting suffering that you're creating to stay safe and get love, which would be sabotage. You've moved into a deeper way of being, which is that the suffering has ended, or it's close to ending, and now you're focused on just being yourself and truly living what you always wanted, which was your full range of emotions and your full authentic being. It just didn't feel safe until something like KI, or, I mean, including Eckhart, if you can find that realization, but he just doesn't provide any pathway to it. The most he says is like, rest with a pain body, and that's not going to do it. It didn't for me, because too much buried anger in that, which he doesn't acknowledge. In any event, I'll leave you with that and say that there's really a depth of freedom that you can't imagine in self-realization. And there's so many bypassing methods and teachings that we do have to be careful, I think, because non-duality may become irrelevant if it's not, if we don't add a higher skill level to get to these patterns. Thank you for listening. This work is free. You can start it right away. Click on the link in the description. You'll get not only a free video to show you how to do the work, but also a video explaining the work and the free repression test to get you started. Thank you.